A massive landslide rocks southeast Alaska, 60 miles from Haines, and initial results from a Native identity study are unveiled. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. A massive landslide, estimated to be around 6.5 miles long near Glacier Bay, has scientists in New York clamoring to get to southeast. The slide happened Tuesday morning and was discovered by a local pilot. On Tuesday morning, when Paul Swanstrom saw the dust cloud hovering over the Lamplu Glacier, he says he knew exactly what it was.
You bet, because we've seen these landslides before. Now, it made the air a little dusty there, but it's not any danger now.
This landslide in Glacier Bay National Park, like the ones in 2014 and 2012, sent millions of tons of debris spilling down the mountainside. According to the Alaska Earthquake Center, it happened at 8:21 a.m. Swanstrom flew over it 2 hours later. Tuesday's slide toppled down the glacier for approximately 6.5 miles, though the official size is still unknown. But early estimates rival the giant Glacier Bay slides in the past several years. It may have even been the biggest yet.
The other one, a couple of 4 years ago, that was really big, went down about 4 miles, 4.5 miles, and it was in a little narrower of a canyon. This thing is longer and much bigger in many ways.
The recent avalanche happened about 8 miles from those big slides that excited scientists in the recent past, Swanstrom says, and about 60 or so miles from Haines.
This is a very important event.
Colin Stark is a research professor with the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University. He's getting ready to fly to Juneau and head to the site to gather sediment samples in the coming days. Measurements and samples will give Stark and his team a better understanding of why the slide happened and how exactly it traveled to its final resting place.
We have events like this maybe 3 to 5 times per year across the entire world. And the St. Elias Range and Glacier Bay, southeast Alaska in general, are hotspots in terms of rock avalanches, very large landslides.
The reason, he says, is that mountains in southeast are growing at an accelerated rate because of shifting tectonic plates.
So mountains are being built very fast, and they're also being destroyed very fast because the rocks are weak and because glacial erosion is very powerful.
The result is an extraordinary amount of rock avalanches of impressive magnitudes. From his initial data, Stark thinks this slide likely had a mass of around 150 million metric tons, a world-class event, he says. As far as the force of the slide, it was 280 giganewtons, which, let's face it, is meaningless to most of us. So Stark tried to put it in a context better grasped by the average person.
I think a small SUV weighs about a ton. I'm not very good on the real world things, obviously. I'm an academic. What do I know? 100 million cars falling down a slope.
Stark says the abundance of these slide events in Glacier Bay is concerning because of the cruise ship traffic and remote lodges scattered throughout the area.
And in fact, these rock avalanches do seem to occur more in summertime, possibly related to warmer summer temperatures, although that's a little hard to say. We don't have enough. They don't happen often enough for us to be able to generalize yet. But yeah, this is a very serious event. It's probably, I want to say, one of the largest in the last few decades.
Stark and his fellow researchers detect large slides with the help of long-distance seismometers. They knew about this one, quote, very quickly after the slide let loose.
So we can be based in New York and look at the local and global seismographic network, and my colleague has an automatic system for detecting regular earthquakes based on these instruments that are spread around the globe. But occasionally, these seismometers pick up a very, very large landslide.
Haines geologist Russ White flew over the slide the day after it happened. He says earth-moving events like this happen fairly frequently.
Geologically speaking, they happen all the time, which, 2 in 4 years is probably fairly frequent, but mountains are eroding constantly, and this is just one of the forms of erosion. It's a fairly spectacular form of erosion when a 4,000-foot face of a mountain falls off and shoots itself 6 miles out across the glacier. That's pretty spectacular.
As of Friday, the Alaska Earthquake Center had yet to compile data on the landslide, so they didn't have a number or magnitude to give. But they said it's obvious this is a very significant event that is much bigger than anything in the recent past. Seismologist Michael West says the signals from this slide were clear all the way up to Barrow, across to Nome, and beyond. He said this slide, quote, shook a decent amount of our planet. Researchers from New Mexico and Denmark were in Haines, Klukwan, and Juneau the past couple of months interviewing Alaska Native people about their identity. After surveying more than 100 people, they presented the initial results from the study at the Haines Library and the Sealaska Heritage Institute in Juneau. KHNS's Emily Files has more with audio courtesy of Sealaska.
How strongly people connect with being Alaska Native could influence whether they feel more attached to their clan or their community. That's one of the initial findings from a study led by Caitlin Stern and Jesse Barker. Stern is from Haines originally, but now is a fellow at the Santa Fe Institute in New Mexico. Barker is a researcher at Aarhus Institute in Denmark. Barker explained that how people identify with certain groups can impact their actions towards others. She said in one well-known study, participants were asked to choose between two paintings.
They were divided into two groups on the basis of which painting they preferred, and then asked how willing they were to help somebody who was in the same group as them or in a different group as them. And people were much more helpful and generous towards those people in their same group than people in the other group, even though that group was totally artificial, totally arbitrary, and had only been formed, you know, a couple of minutes before they were asked this question.
Barker and Stern wanted to know how Alaska Native identity shapes interactions with others. They focused on Tlingit people, since the majority of the 171 participants in their survey identified as Tlingit. The participants were asked about three pieces of identity.
So first of all, moiety that people belong to, secondly, their clan, and thirdly, their kwan, or their home communities.
The Tlingit moieties are raven and eagle or wolf. Within each, there are a number of clans. The people from any given clan may live across many different kwans, or home communities.
And this is one of the things that we are really interested in investigating, how this geographic distribution of members of the same clans plays into the different connections that people have, the different ways that people identify with people and place.
Stern then explained some of the initial results. They asked participants about their ethnic identity, how strongly they connect with being Alaska Native. They also asked how strongly people identify with their clan and community. Stern says they looked at whether one connection is stronger than the other.
And we're really interested in this question because this was something that a lot of our participants brought up in their interviews, and also because of some previous research on this topic. So George Emmons, who did some early work in this area, I'm sure many of you have heard of him, actually thought that here he says tribe, but I think he actually means village or town. It's just an accidental geographical grouping of independent clans. So he really thought the clan was the most important thing to people, and he says it takes precedence over every other organization.
Some participants said clan was more important. Some said home community. Stern says they looked at those results and tried to see if there were any differences based on age or gender, and there were none. Then they compared how strongly people connect with being Alaska Native.
So what we're going to ask is whether the strength of ethnic identity influences whether people identify more strongly with their clan or with their community.
The answer appears to be yes.
People who identify more strongly as Alaska Native are more likely to identify with their clan than with their community.
The researchers also asked about identity in action. They asked who would be most likely to ask you for help, and who would you be most likely to ask for help?
So for both of these questions, the majority of people said they'd be most likely to ask someone who's from the same community but a different clan for help.
Stern says they have a lot more analysis to do from the survey and interview results. The researchers say their study is one of the first to investigate these aspects of identity in Alaska Natives. They say the cultural resurgence happening now makes it an exciting time to ask these questions. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
And just a note that the news team is taking Monday off for the 4th of July holiday. We will resume local newscasts on Tuesday. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories anytime on our website at khns.org.